supposed to be done in, right? You try to get an hour to teach you, and you can ask questions. But a lot of people don't come to Bible study. Prayer meeting, well, all right. But Bible study is very, very important. Prayer meeting is very important. So what I got to do now? I got to see all that they can give during the fellowship service. Right? So from next month, the month of September, we'll be doing some changing in the service. We'll be doing some changing up in the service. This is August. Next month, September, from September month.
This is July.
Oh! What a month! What am I saying? July, August. All right. So let's do it in August, right? Now we'll have a little change in the service. If not, we can have the same service, but we can have some reverse. Good? We can have some singing for us. Then we can have preaching. Amen? Take up the offering, we can have preaching. Then all who want to testify and all who want to sing, will do it afterward, right? Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Everybody saying amen?
Amen.
The word has to be number one. Isn't that so?
Amen.
And when I'm not getting sufficient time to deliver the word, then that's a problem. Amen?
A big problem.
Big problem. Here, the descendants have a big problem. So if we have the service as normal, nothing, you wouldn't miss anything, but priority must be given to the word.
Amen.
And to prayer. And to worship. Praise the Lord. Now, we discussed this already on the chart, but this is not what I'm coming up with. Just we have to implement it now, right? So, praise the Lord. Now, we need testimony. Thank God for when people testify. We need you to testify. Amen? We need you to testify. We need you to sing your song, and we need you to do what we have to do. You know, we don't need that. We need that. But as I'm saying, word have to be taken, will have to take forth place. I went to preach it. Yeah, I did it at the church. They had art and everything, they sing, they talk, and then they say, well, no, take a little time. Do you know how much, generally speaking, I prepare to deliver what I have to deliver? It don't be something generally a one-day thing, it's throughout the week. And if you're going to ask me to come and just, don't invite me. Don't invite me to go preach at the church. Simple as that, amen? Don't invite me.
Amen.
Because if I'm going, I would have something I want to give. And give me time to give what I have to give. Now I'm doing all things everybody says. Well, see what we can do then. No. Word must take priority. Are you with me? Are you with me? And one of the reasons too, because hardly people come to Bible study. So we need to get the word in. We need to know the word. Practice the word and teach and preach the word. Amen? So I want to encourage you to keep on testifying. No problem. Keep on singing. You need to sing. You need to testify. You need to sing. You need to do all that you need to do for the Lord. But we can just have a little reverse from next month. Amen? Everybody's with me? And let's see how it will go. So that means you got to come on time. Amen? You got to come on time. I don't mess up. Amen. So some of the word. All right, let's see how far we can get. Now, for this month here, the month of July, maybe in the month of August, and we're looking at the Holy Spirit. He is so important. Without the Spirit of God in the body of Christ, you have a dead body. If your spirit come out your body, what kind of body would you have?
Dead body.
So if the Holy Spirit comes out of the body of Christ, you're not a body, but you got a dead body. Amen? Pastor Adam, would you like to say anything? You know he's a man of God. All right, good. Hallelujah. So let's pray. Father, please anoint your word and speak to us so we can understand, receive, and practice it. In Jesus' name, amen. Good. So let me do some reviewing and see how much you have learned. You heard Joel say, you know, something, we have to go out and sing. So that's why we got to dedicate this thing. Just hand me this mic. Good. There's a different kind of settings. See, there's a mic for the pastor. So when the musician is not around, you have to put the mic on. And there's something on the guitar so they won't have a card. So I can do what I have to do. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
So whether people are here or not here, sometimes people have to go. And different story. The church must go on. Isn't that so?
Amen?
Amen? If the keyboard don't come or the drummers, thank God for drummers and thank God for keyboards and thank God for the... But if nobody come, church must go on.
Amen.
Amen? Must go on. Because the Lord said, I will build what? This church doesn't belong to me. No. It belongs to the Lord. Isn't that so? And he builds it and he uses us to build it. So Lord, we dedicate those piece of instrument, whatever they're called. And we ask that it will be used for your glory, for your honor and praise. In Jesus' name. Now God's people say,
amen.
Amen. All right, so let me see how much of Lord. And as I said, July, August, I mean, so far, we will get with these studies that which I believe is very important to the body of Christ. I mean, to have you see, if you don't have foundation, what will happen? What will happen if you don't have foundation? You will fall. Isn't that so? You must have foundation. You know, I have to tell, this is not true. There's not true discerning of spiritual word knowledge. I could tell everybody in this church, if you're wise or foolish. You want me to tell you? You want me to tell you individually?
No.
Somebody's in there. All right. All right. General. It's something general. To. Jesus said, if you hear this saying of mine and what? And you do them, you're a wise person. So if you hear the word and don't do it, you're what? Now, I didn't say so. The word of God says so, right? So if you know the word, don't practice it, you're foolish. And if you know the word and do it, you're a wise person. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we look at how to become a child of God and know it. Before you could have become a child of a natural father, you have to be what? Before you could become a child of a natural father, you have to be born of a child of his. Isn't that so? Before you can become a child of God, you got to be born of God, right? Beloved, 1 John 4:7, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is what?
Born
of God and knoweth God. Right? What does it mean to be born? To be born of God, to be born again, or to be saved. All of those are terminology you can use in relation to salvation. What it means to be saved. You know, a lot of people go to church, maybe a lot of churches, maybe even in this church. People come and they're not born again. Huh? They might read their religious book, they might pray, fast, but they're not born again. So what does it mean to be born again? What does it mean to receive the life of God? Come on. All right. Good. See, because of my time, when I get a little more time, I'm going to ask you questions so we can interact and get things over in a better way that you could learn. Now, to receive the life of God, to be born again, means to receive God's spirit within you, Sister Joan. And to receive God's nature. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Knowing not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost where? Which is in you. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, is what? A new creature, a new creation. All things have passed, and behold, all things have become new. So, when the Spirit of God comes into you, and the nature of God comes into you, then you can say that you are a child of God. Amen? So, do you have the Spirit of God living in you? Do you have the nature of God in you? If the Spirit of God is living in you, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are what?
None of
it. If the Spirit of God is living in you, I'm not talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I'm talking about the indwelling of the Spirit, right? If you have the Spirit of God living in you, and if you have the nature of God living in you, you're saved, you're a child of God. If you don't, you're not a child of God. What's the condition of an unsaved person? By now you should know it. An unsaved person is what? A child of the devil. Have his nature, is in his kingdom, is governed by him, will be afflicted and possessed by demon spirit, is a sinner, have their sinful nature ruling them, is dead in trespasses and sin, what? Is cursed, subject to all present disease and evil, is condemned on the judgment of God and is going to hell. But if an unsaved person wants God's spirit to come in them, and they want the nature of God, what they need to do? These are the ABCs, you know. But sometimes church people, like, they don't know them. What? They need to know what? Realize that they are sinner, be sorry for living a life of sin and repent in the name of Jesus. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Believe that he came, he died for us, he was buried in the third day, he rose again from the dead. Receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord and confess his Lordship over your life. These are foundation to your Christian life, right?
Yeah.
Amen? So when the Spirit of God and the life of God come into you, what happens to you? Because of the Spirit of God and the life of God, you become more. It'll change in your life. Morally, there'll be change.
Yes.
If you yield to the Spirit of God and the life of God within you, morally, there'll be a change. You'll be helped mentally. You'll be helped physically. You'll be helped spiritually. You'll be helped socially. You'll be helped financially and eternally. Amen? That's when the life. So how can a person know when they're saved, whether they're saved or not? How do you know if you're saved or not? Number one, St. John 1:12 says, but to as many as received him, to them what? Give you what? Power, the right to become the sons of children of God, even to them believe on his name. Now, once you receive Christ into your heart as a Savior, you can say, God, you said, if I accept Christ as my Savior, I will become a child of God. And so I did so, and I am a child of God. That's based on the what? The word of God. Romans 8:16 said what? The Spirit of God bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Thank God, the Spirit of God living in you, right, Rebel? What? Knowing not that your body, the temple of the Holy Ghost, where? That is inside you. The Spirit of God bear witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. And third, they can know that you're a child of God by a changed life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, is what?
A new
creature, a new creation. The old of God and the new has come. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that you become perfect, as Brother Robin was saying. But God will put a desire in your heart to want to please him.
Yes.
Amen? You don't be nobody. Dear pastor, your pastor is not perfect. I'm not a perfect individual, but they have great desire in my heart to please God. It will hurt me so much if I hurt the Lord. It will hurt me so much if I displease the Lord. Hurt me. It will hurt me real bad. Right? So when the nature of God and the Spirit of God is inside of you, you have a great desire to please God. Is that desire there? If that desire is not there, I question whether you're saved or not. Amen? I question whether you're saved or not. That desire is to be there. Hallelujah. Then the next subject we look at is baptism of what? You that were here, baptism of what? No, baptism of suffering. Did you know there's a baptism of suffering? Huh? Did you know there's a baptism of suffering? And we learn from scripture that there are how many kinds of baptism? Huh? There are five kinds of baptism. First one, baptism in the cloud and sea. We typify the baptism in the Holy Spirit and water baptism. 1 Corinthians 10:2 tells us, Paul speaking of the Israelites says, as followers of Moses, they were all baptized in the cloud. They were all baptized in the cloud and in the sea. That typify Holy Spirit baptism and water baptism. Then there's baptism in Christ. Now what baptism in Christ means? Hear what Galatians 3:27 tells us. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So the baptism that typifies baptism in the cloud and the sea, they were all baptized in the cloud and the sea, typifies spirit baptism, right? Spirit baptism, and water baptism. But there's a baptism in Christ. Some people only know about one baptism, water baptism. What the word baptize mean, by the way? Immerse. Right? So, when a person is baptized in Christ, I mean they're immersed in Christ. And when does this happen? What Jesus said, I am the vine, and ye are the vine, and ye are the what? Branch. If a man what? Abide or immerse in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, right? So, there's a baptism in Christ. Now, baptism in Christ, we could say that means to be saved. And there's a third baptism in suffering. And this means to endure pain, sorrow, punishment, etc. And Christ our Lord had a baptism of suffering, and as his children, we will have a baptism of suffering also. Luke 12:50 tells us, Jesus our Lord speaking says, there's a terrible baptism ahead of me, and I am under a heavy burden until it is accomplished. Is he talking about a baptism? There is a terrible baptism ahead of me, and I am under a heavy burden until it is accomplished. Christ had a baptism of suffering, amen? All those who will live godly, what? Shall suffer. Then I look, I can't get into all of that because of time factor. Well, let me see if I get it quickly. Why does God allow you to suffer? Why did God allow Job to suffer? Job didn't do nothing wrong, and did Job do anything wrong? No, he was an upright man. Why did God allow Job to suffer? So, Satan accused Job, saying, you know what? You accuse Job to God, you know, is he not accused of the brethren? You know why Job's wrong? Because we give it, take it away and see what happens. In other words, God will allow you to suffer so that you and others can see a motive for serving the Lord. Why are you serving the Lord? Because of fish and bread? Or because you love him? Why is serving the Lord? There's one reason why God allows you to suffer. Second reason God allows you to suffer, so that you can be conformed to the image of his son. You want to make you like Christ. Third reason God allows you to suffer, so that you can be in his perfect will. Joseph suffered. He never knew maybe God would have raised him up to be prime minister of Egypt. But you know how he got into the perfect will of God? Through what? Suffering. Four, God allows us to suffer so that he can get glory. Five, God allows us to suffer so we can sympathetically minister to others. Amen? And if we suffer with him, we shall what? Huh? Good. So that's a third kind of suffering. Now, fourth kind of suffering we have, that's the third kind of baptism. The fourth kind of baptism we have, which is water baptism. And what the word baptize means? To what? Immerse. I know we baptize here in the name of the Father and of the Son. Go in there and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're not looking at that today. Then there's a fifth baptism. Baptism in the Spirit. Now this is the one I want to get over to us. And let us see the importance of having the Spirit, right? And the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, the baptism in the Holy Spirit means so what? What it mean? All right. We baptize in the Spirit. You see, that's why I need time to do this, right? Time to do it. To be baptized in the Spirit means to receive the fullness of the Spirit, or the Spirit without measure. Now, how do you know how God gave his Spirit? Now, certain things about God I don't understand. Could you understand how God could be here, there, and everywhere at the same time? Anybody could understand it? Please explain it to me. I don't know. Anybody know? I don't understand that. I can't understand how God could be everywhere at the same time. Good. Now, St. John 7:38, just our Lord speaking of the baptism in the Holy Spirit, says, out of his belly shall flow what?
River.
All right. Shall flow out of his Spirit rivers of living water. Verse 39 says, but this spake he of the Spirit. In our study today, we look at one of the baptism. We have five, right? So far, we finish baptism of suffering. We want to look at the baptism of the Holy Spirit now, to be immersed in him. Now, how does God give his Spirit? I can understand this, but it's a fact. How does God give his Spirit? St. John 3:34 tells us, for he whom God sent, that is Jesus, speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him, inferring that the Spirit can be given by measure. If God didn't give the Spirit by measure, it's inferring that God gave the Spirit by measure. Now, air is not everywhere. Can any one of us take all the air in the world? In our body, it might explode, right? But we have a measure of it. We have a portion. Remember, because of time factor, I'll have to cite this and you help me if I go wrong. Remember at one time when Moses thing would complain, he said, Lord, this too much to me. He had the Spirit on him, and the Lord took the Spirit out from off of Moses and divided it among 70 elders and put the Spirit up. In other words, he gave them a measure of what Moses had.
Yes.
You remember that?
Yes.
So God gave his Spirit by measure. Good. When we were unsaved, the Holy Spirit was with us. What was the purpose of being with us? To convict us of what? Sin, righteousness, and judgment. In John 16:8. After we got saved, the Holy Spirit came into us, or received a conversion measure of the Spirit. Our bodies became the what? Temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19 tells what? Knowing not that your body is what? The temple of the Holy Ghost. Now, some people believe that if you don't speak in tongues, you ain't got the Spirit. Incorrect. Remember, they are measure of the Spirit. Once you get saved, the Spirit of God has come into you. Your body becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Right? That's a conversional measure. Now, when God gave you a spirit, a conversional measure of a spirit, what is the purpose of Him giving you the conversional measure of a spirit? Huh? Good. The spirit coming, that's why you have some people who don't speak in tongues, but they live very good life because the spirit of God is in them and they yield to the spirit. Amen? And some may be speaking in tongues and still carnal. So don't believe because you speak in tongues you're more spiritual than other people. No, that is not so. Amen? So I need to correct those things. What is the purpose of the Holy Spirit coming to dwell or live in us? His purpose in coming to dwell or live in us is to produce the life of Christ, the fruit of the Spirit. Amen? In the book of Acts 1:8, the scripture speaks about the Spirit coming upon us. Whenever we read of the Spirit coming upon, resting upon, falling upon, and filling people, the reference is never to the saving work of the Spirit, but always to the power for service. The Spirit coming upon us in the New Testament, according to Acts 1:8, means to be baptized in the Spirit. This is what John the Baptist spoke about in Matthew 3:11, when he said, Jesus will baptize in the Holy Spirit. They're coming to one after me. He was baptizing. You see, there's two baptisms here. John was baptizing in water. You see, the one that come after me, he's going to baptize you what? In the Spirit, right? Good. Now, is there a difference between receiving the Spirit at conversion and being baptized in the Spirit? Is there a difference between being saved and sanctified? Come on, is there a difference? Good. Who's responsible for giving us new birth? Huh? That which is born of the what? Spirit is spirit, and that which is born of it. So the Spirit is responsible for giving us the new birth, isn't that so? Now who's responsible for sanctifying us? Huh? Alright. The Spirit is responsible for sanctifying us. 1 Peter 1:2. We talk about the sanctification of the Spirit. It is a one and same Spirit, but two operation. It's one Holy Spirit, but two operation. One, He saves and He sanctifies, right? It's one Holy Spirit, then got twin. Right? Then got triple, then one Holy Spirit, but he saves and He sanctifies. Good. In like manner, there is two operation in relation to receiving the Spirit at conversion and the baptism in the Holy Spirit. But it is a one and same Spirit, one Holy Spirit. Is there a difference? Then in receiving the Spirit at conversion and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, when we were converted, we as believers receive a measure. We receive a measure or a conversional measure of God's Spirit. Right? That's a measure. All right. Take for example, if I had a bucket here now, and I take a glass and dip a glass full of water to the bucket, how much water would you say I have from the bucket? A measure. Let's say I take a 2-pint cup and I dip it and I hold it in my hand. 2-pint cup. I have what? A measure of the water. Right? So when you get converted, you have a measure of the Spirit. That the Spirit of God is not in you, because if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you don't belong to Him. You're saved. You might not be speaking in tongues, but you're saved. Thank God. Amen?
Amen.
That's why the God of people... other churches, maybe they don't speak in tongues, but who said they're saved? Who said they're not saved? They have what you call the indwelling of the Spirit. Now, when the Spirit come, into your conversion, what does He help you to do? One, He help us to live and help us to live holy lives and to produce the fruit of the Spirit. 1 Peter 1:2, Galatians 5:22-23. He teach us. 1 Corinthians 2:13. 1 John 2:27. He will help us pray and fast, Romans 8:26. He will help us in fellowship with the saints, Hebrews 10:25, 1 Corinthians 14:26. He will comfort us, St. John 14:16. He will help us work for God up to a certain measure or degree. All right? So you can, although you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, you can still work for God to a degree. Good. Now, what benefit would a believer receive? Good. Let me go back here. So you have a measure of water. Suppose now you should take the 2-pint cup and put it in the bucket of water. What happened to the 2-pint cup now? It's not only filled, but it's what? Immersed. It's not the word of waters upon the cup, around it, all over it, right? So when you have when you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you don't only have a measure, but you have immersed, you have the fullness of the Spirit is upon you, all over you, and whatever and whatever. Good, praise the Lord. Now, what is the benefit? If a person don't get baptized in the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues, you think they'll go to heaven, yes or no?
Yes.
They're going to heaven because it's not baptism in the Holy Spirit. The purpose of the baptism in the Spirit is not to change your life. It's one Spirit, two operation. When the Spirit comes in at conversion, then your life gets changed. But the Spirit, remember, He's a Spirit. And there's tremendous benefit. Tremendous benefit when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. What benefit will a believer receive when he or she received the baptism in the Holy Spirit? They'll receive the benefit of speaking in tongues and the benefit of special ability, might, and efficiency to do service for God. When a person is baptized in the Holy Spirit, God gives him or her the supernatural ability to speak in tongues or other languages. What does it mean to speak in tongues? Let me hear you now. When a person is speaking in tongues, right? What it means to speak in tongues? I'm sorry, who's speaking tongues? Give me a wave. Now listen, you see, before we finish this series, everybody who gets saved, you need to get baptized in the Holy Ghost and speak in that tongue. I'll show you the benefit of it. It doesn't mean to say if you're not speaking in tongue, you're lost. It doesn't mean to say if you're not speaking in tongue, you're pleasing God. I'm not saying that, but I want to show you the benefit. Right? I said I want to show you the benefit of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Especially if you want to be in ministry. I say, especially if you want to be in ministry. Good. Now, what does it mean to speak in tongues? I have to take my time and tell you this one here, then I may skip over and go to some place, and then we can come back again next week. What means to speak in tongues? Acts 2:4. And they were all, what? Filled with the Holy Ghost. And what? Began to speak in other, as who gave the utterance? Someone. So when you're speaking in tongues, is who speaking? The Spirit or you? When you get filled with the Holy Ghost, who's speaking in tongues? The Spirit of God speaking in tongues, or you speaking in tongues? Huh? Let me repeat. And they were all filled. I used to think, maybe like how some of you think, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with them. As the Spirit gave them utterance. Utterance being the words. So who do they speak in? You doing the speaking, but the Spirit of God giving you the words. You get it? When you speak in tongues, the Holy Spirit giving you the word. That's why you see, speaking in tongues is such a is the greatest prayer you can pray. I'm gonna show you why. When you're speaking in tongues, alright, something you know you're doing good. Alright. How should I put it? If I'm preaching and teaching something, I must be able to experience it and by God's help, then teach it and preach it. I don't believe in teaching or preaching anything that I'm not living. I must live it, experience it, then teach it, right? So when I'm talking, I know what I'm talking about, right? Amen?
Amen.
So I spend about 3 hours and a quarter a day. And almost all the prayer is being speaking in tongues. I spend some time in English too, in some of the prayer. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit helps me. And if you're having a problem in prayer, you need the Holy Spirit to help you pray. Amen? Good. Now, what are the benefits when you speak in tongues? No one can give you all the benefits now. But let me see if I can give you a couple. Or I'm going to see if I can get them over. When we speak in tongues, we are speaking directly to God. And we'll be able to pray all kinds of prayer. How would you like to know? You know, there's some line, I think it's called a hotline. You remember the hotline? You think everybody now could get through to the president? But apparently some people, some special people, as soon as they pick up the phone, the president can answer them. But every now and then, he can't get there. So we have a hotline to heaven.
Amen.
Amen? We have a direct connection. He that speak or hear what the word says. Let me show you what it says now. That's why when you're going through a real rough time, pray in the Spirit. Because some people don't even know how to pray as you ought to. When we speak in tongues, we are speaking directly to God. And we'll be able to pray all kinds of prayer. 1 Corinthians 14:2 tells us, "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth. Howbeit, in the spirit, he speaketh what? divine secret or mystery. The word mystery there takes me divine secret. When you begin to speak in tongues, the Holy Spirit giving your spirit the words, right? And you're praying them to the Father in Jesus' name. Now, once the Holy Spirit giving you the words, you could never pray wrong. I said you could never pray wrong because the Holy Spirit is perfect. Amen? And when He give you words, something you don't know to do, something you know you don't know how to pray, situation coming like you don't know what to say, you don't know how to start. But you say, all right, Father, I can pray in the Spirit. I can pray in tongues. I'm going to pray in tongues. I'm praying direct in the name of Jesus. And all those situations that you have, you know what happened? God turned to run for good. Because while you're praying in the Spirit, you're praying about your situation. You're praying about other people's situation too. How do you think I carry this church? This is the third, for a second, this is the third church, churches that I'm pastoring. But you know why? And all these churches are pastored, by the grace of God, they were successful in them. One, I built a church, another one, I left a minister there. This is the third one. And every one of them, I was successful in them. You know why? Because I learned to pray in the Spirit. And I learned to use the Word. See, when I come with the Word.
Yes.
Amen? Don't come, if you come in, if you tell me anything, it's not according to the Word, I will just hear you. That is all I will do. You have to come according to the Word. Amen? Man shall not live by what? But by? So, you speak in tongues. Now, are you having difficulties in your prayer life? Do you sometimes feel frustrated when you think about all the different kinds of prayer you're supposed to pray? I must confess I had difficulty when praying to our Lord in my native language, which is English. But praise God, I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the supernatural gift of speaking in tongues. So now I go to God when I go to God in prayer, I can speak to Him in tongues and know that I made contact with Him, that I'm speaking to Him directly. If this was the only reason to be baptized in the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues, would have been sufficient. You can speak directly to God. Amen? Amen?
Amen?
Now, tongues have different purpose, right? When you come to tongue, unless you have an interpretation or a prophecy, you're supposed to pray quietly to yourself and God. Isn't that so? If everybody is praying in praying tongues, well, good. It's acceptable. Otherwise, you know, this prayer I'm praying in tongues primarily for your prayer life. Amen? For your prayer life. Tongues and interpretation is for the church. Prophecy is for the church. And while you're praying in tongues, you can interpret what you're saying in tongues to personally, or you can prophesy to yourself. You're not going to prophesy to yourself,
yes,
because of the Spirit of God giving you the word. You can.
Yes.
Did I pray that? Did I say that? What kind of prayer I can be praying when I'm praying in the Spirit? Or praying in tongues. According to the scripture, I can be praying all kinds of prayer. Ephesians 6:18 tells us, pray in the Spirit on all occasion with all kinds of prayer and requests. What does it mean to pray in the Spirit? To pray in the Spirit means to pray in tongues as the Spirit of God supplied the words. 1 Corinthians 14:14 says, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. How do my spirit pray? Acts 2:4 tells us, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit give them utterance or words. How do my spirit pray? The Holy Spirit give my spirit the words and I pray them out. To pray in the Spirit also means to pray in my native language as the Spirit of God gives me word to pray. 1 Corinthians 14:15 tells us, I will pray with my spirit and I will pray with my understanding or mind. To pray according to the word of God is to pray according to the Spirit, because the Spirit is responsible for giving us the word of God. All holy men of God speak as they're what? Moved by the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to pray all kinds of prayer? According to the Bible, there are several kinds of prayer. There's a prayer of worship, tongues, intercession, supplication, binding and loosing, etc. When I'm praying in tongues, I'm praying all kinds of prayer. And as I pray all kinds of prayer, God will cause all things to work out for me, work out for good in my life. Taking Romans 8:26 and 20 in context, right? Hear what it says. The Spirit also helpeth our infirmity. I think this word infirmity means weakness. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us with groaning. And he that sorteth with groanings which cannot be uttered, and he that sorteth the heart, not but in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know. Now, what is an? Colors, English color, what is an? And is a conjunction, right? So join in two sentences, right? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. When we pray in the Spirit or tongues, We will pray in all kinds of prayer. And as we pray about all things through all kinds of prayer in the Spirit, God will work through our prayer and cause all things to work together for good. Isn't this great?
Yeah.
Come on, isn't this grace?
Hallelujah.
For those of you who are filled with the Spirit, utilize the gift. You know you can have a gift and don't use it? Isn't that so? You can have a gift and don't use it. You have the gift, use it. So I was teaching my grandchildren, I was teaching them the same subject. Because I know for them to make it, they got to learn to pray in the Spirit. Amen? They have to learn to pray in the Spirit. And my grandchildren is like you, just like you. I treat you just like them in this sense. Because you are people that God has put me responsible for. That's why everything I get, this one preacher don't keep back anything. I heard Sister Edith was telling me some brother went and getting fast and pre get the revelation. That's revelation? You can't get it like nobody. You must got pay for it or something. I'll pay for this revelation. Everything that God gave me, every single thing, I share it with others. I give it to you. Everything that God, I give it to this church. I don't keep back nothing from you. Amen. And this is one of the most important things in my life. And I'm sharing with you so that you also can have these blessings. Amen. Amen. Or I can't get into all of this. But another reason. So one, when you're praying in tongues, I'm going to give you three today. And maybe give you next week. We're going to have a little, then we're going to pray for people who need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So if you can fast, do some fasting next week. Amen. Then got to fast only half day. Cause some people get problem, and as soon as they fast, they're going to have problems. All right? And the first thing, when you're praying in tongues, you're praying to who? To God. Isn't that so? The Spirit of God gives you a spirit of the word, and you pray to God. Isn't what the Bible says? I didn't say so. Right? When you're praying in tongues, you could be praying what? All kinds of prayer. God will cause all things to work together for good for you. But the last one, and let me say, all those people got vehicle. You're going to understand better what I'm saying. Vehicle, people with vehicle. Just put your hand, just give me a wave. So, in case I say anything wrong, you're going to help me, right? All right. All right. So, if you put up your hand by faith, because you have vehicle by faith, all right. All right, that's good. All right. Now, when we pray in tongues, we'll be edifying or building up or strengthening ourselves in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 14:4 tells us, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth or strengthen himself. That is spiritually. Did any one of you ever have to charge up a battery? When a battery is run down, it is of what? Use a vehicle or no use? If it gone right down, no use. In order for it to be useful again, it has to be what? Charge up. Some battery may take 3 hours, is that so? Am I wrong? Huh? A long time, right? To charge up. Some may be longer. It all depends how low is the battery. When the battery is fully charged up, it can do its work. There will be what? Current. There will be current. Why? Because the battery is charged up. Well, the word of God, the word edify there actually mean that in the original, according to my knowledge, right? He that speaks in an unknown tongue, charge up himself. In other words, sometimes you know you're in your Christian life, you're there low. You know, I say low, I mean, did any of you ever feel low?
Yes.
Real low in your life?
Yes.
And you feel like, you know, like I can't make it.
Yes.
Your hand limping. Yes. And your foot, you know, dragging.
Yes.
He said, all right, Lord, you have given me a supernatural means to charge up.
Yes.
So you go before the Lord. And you know, you start up and then start up. And I say, power coming by. Power. Hallelujah. Amen. You start charge up. Amen. Amen. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue, charge up himself. So anytime you're feeling weak and you're feeling down and you're feeling out, you go and start speaking in tongue. Listen, when I was young, you know, when you're young, you don't know a lot of things. So I used to then outside pray loud, loud, and start praying in tongues. People ask for the road, can they hear me? And they go, loud, loud, loud. But now I could pray, James, because they're sleeping, and I could pray right near you, and I pray in tongues, but he's never here. Because I learned to control. You see, the spirit of the prophet is what? Subject to the prophet. So now I could pray in tongues, but I don't have to pray loud. I could sit on the stage here, listening to the word, I could be praying in tongues. Right? Amen? So he that speaketh, so all of us sometimes have up in the road praying. I didn't hear port and I pray in tongues. Nobody ever know because I got different languages they hear port, right? They got more language praying. Well, the point I'm making, you're edifying yourself. So I'm not boasting and bragging. I'm just saying I'm boasting in the Lord and what the Lord taught me. He taught me to build up myself. He taught me to pray to Him. He taught me that when I'm praying, I could pray all kind of prayer. He taught me that, and I'm going to show you other things of how you can pray the will of God when you're praying in the Spirit. And He taught me to edify and build up myself. I've been 49 years now. After I learned this, I said, this is the secret, boy. So always speaking in tongues. Always speaking in tongues. I got a crusade, speaking in tongues. Mama came and catch fish. I said, boy, they come for crusade, they come fish. Yeah? I rather something go some them preacher. They want to carry out here. I don't operate like that. If I go to preach, I gotta preach. I gotta spend time with the Lord. I'm gonna freely receive freely. So I gotta go and I gotta speak in tongues, and when I go there, people got saved. Hallelujah. People got saved because you're not corrupt. Amen. But when you don't build up yourself and you preach, dead man will preach what? Dead sermon. But when you got fire, the fire comes through the Spirit. Amen? Amen. What? How the Lord is going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire? How did the fire come? Amen. Fire start flowing. Amen. You know when a battery really charges, put your hand on it, so you touch the negative part, you could be shocked. Isn't that so? Current! Man, if we ain't a current. Amen? That's why don't let me know by put the hand on you. If they're praying in the Spirit, they put the hand on you, and they transfer that Spirit into you. Let people who's praying in the Spirit, any one of us can pray in the Spirit, let them put the hand on you, something, and you get something. Current can flow. Amen?
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 Amen.
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 Hallelujah! Sorry, we have to call off here now, but next week we'll continue. Now, how can a person get filled with the Holy Spirit? What is the fourth requirement? Huh? If you're not saved, you can't get the Holy Spirit. You've got to be saved, right? So one of the sure way I know that you're saved, or you're in the life of God, when you get filled with the Holy Ghost and begin to speak with our tongues. And assure you're saved. The world cannot receive the Holy Spirit. Amen? For you to get the Holy Spirit, Acts 16:31, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Repent. Then said Peter and they repent and be baptized everyone and you shall receive what? The gift of the Holy Spirit. As long as you are saved, you are ready to receive the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
And all you got to ask God, say, God, fill me with the Holy Ghost. After you ask God to fill you with the Holy Ghost, you take a step of faith. How did you receive the Spirit? By the works of the Lord, by the hearing of faith. Faith. You take a step of faith, say, all right, Lord, thank you for filling me right now. And you begin to speak as the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God will give you word. Come out of the Spirit and He'll give you. You start speaking this language. Now, some people, they force, like they don't know, because they're young in it, you know, they're young in it, so they might express emotion or whatever. It's all right. Until they learn to control. Amen? Control themselves and control things. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. One time I went to pray for a girl, so I put my hands up. Bam, they're going to follow. I don't push on people. I don't believe in pushing on people, right? Amen? I don't believe in pushing on people. If I put my hand on you, follow, praise the Lord. But I don't push on people. I don't believe in that. If anybody in truly the Lord, truly long. And don't throw it on yourself, too. You know some people, you want to throw it on themselves. You want to throw it on themselves to impress other people? No. Amen. So now, are you prepared to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost? I think I was talking to Jennifer and Robin. One, I do two of them alone. I'm praying for Jennifer, and Jennifer started speaking in tongues. Praise the Lord. At the time I went at the cruise zone, and there was a brother man there. I can't remember the minister. He wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost. And so I talked to him and prayed for him and got filled with the Holy Ghost. Individually, you know. Now, God wants every one of us. Now, God has two gifts. One is for the world. For God so loved the world that He... That is for the world. God got another gift, but it's for the church. And you shall receive what? The gift of that is for the church, not for the world. The world can't receive it. Now, once you're saved, you're qualified to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen? My father used to work he used to live in the Demerara, work as a farmer. And God's so good. Like, he didn't know very much, but he was swinging his song, and I'm bombing and started speaking in tongues. Just like that. Huh? Because the Holy Ghost is for you. Amen? And if you're not baptized, you need to be baptized. And I'm going to pray with you and pray you through until you get filled with it. Because I know when you get filled with the Holy Ghost and begin to use that gift that God gives, the gifts of speaking and talk, it will help you immensely. Help you tremendously. Amen?
Amen.
So next week when I come, come prepare. I wanted to do it today, but our time ran out on us. But I can still pray, pray. Right? And we're going to worship. And I'm going to believe God if you're sick to be healed. If you need deliverance, you'll get deliverance. Because you see, during the week, because of good reason, people can't come to Bible studies. A lot can't come, but they can't come because of good reason, right? Some of them. I can't say for everybody, right? But that's what we have to utilize now the time we have on Sunday. And so how long? About 2 hours, 2 hours and a half, 2 hours, 3 quarters. They're not very long. Amen?
Yes.
You need to get the word of God so that you can help. So I want us, everybody, to bow the heads. Those of you who are not baptized in the Holy Ghost, God is me, Father, and He's your Father too. I said, God is my Father, and He's your Father also. Now, sometimes people who are filling, they need to be refilled now. They need to be baptized. They need to be refilled in the Spirit. Praise the Lord. So, I want you to pray this prayer with me, and next week when you come, you're going to have all the people who need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And don't say it, right? Because it's for your own good. I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost already. But it's for your good. You need the baptism of the Spirit so that you can be helped in your Christian life. Praise the Lord. So we can have those who need to be baptized in the Spirit come up in front. And we're going to pray through all the elders and all those who have received the baptism. Pray for others until they be also. They get what we got. Amen?
Amen.
You can transform by God's help. The Holy Ghost is going to give you what they've given to us. Hallelujah. So why don't you pray this prayer with me? Dear God, those of you are saved, right? If you're not saved, you need to tell. You need to say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm sorry for living a life of sin, and I repent in Jesus' name. I believe that Jesus came and died for me. He was buried in the third day. He arose again from the dead. I believe this with my heart and confess it with my mouth. I receive Jesus as my Savior and Lord and confess His Lordship. When you do that, Christ will come into you. You said, Lord, come into my heart, be my Savior and Lord, I confess your Lordship. The Lord will come into your life and you will be saved. Just like that, you'll be saved. Then after you're saved now, you need to pray. So this is the prayer I want to leave you now. Say, dear God, for those of you that are saved, thank you, Lord, for saving me. And the word tells us, if you repent, we'll receive the gift of the Spirit. So I'm asking you to now baptize me in your Spirit, in Jesus' name. And I thank you right now, Lord, for baptizing me with the physical initial evidence of speaking in other tongues. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Now you can pray. Say, Lord, thank you for filling me. As the Spirit of God gave you the utterance, speak some words. It's just speaking in the other language. Those of you who are filled with the Spirit, praise God, you can speak in tongues. Hallelujah. This is the time you can do that. Hallelujah. Mashaka maraka sandila shaka handa. Ikalabasunu mutalaba shekirihanda. Anything caught out of that are not baptized in the Spirit. If you're not baptized in the Spirit, just believe God. That God will baptize you and you'll speak in other tongues and the Spirit of God give you utterance. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Uramakashanda lavakura masanda. Lord, baptize in the Spirit, O God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Baptize in the Spirit of God. Baptize, Lord. Lord, you know she's been seeking you for some time now, Lord. Give her the physical initial evidence of speaking in tongues. The Spirit, give her the utterance. Makashata bayanda. Receive in the name of Jesus. Oh, Rabakashata bayanda. Oh, Ramakashiki bilabahan. Ika baramanda lavashanda. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Come on, everybody, speak as the Spirit of God giving utterance. Hallelujah. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. Hallelujah. 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 Come, Holy Spirit, I need thee. You can stand. Come, Sweet Spirit, I pray. Come in thy fullness and power. Come in thine own gentle anointing for let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Touch my lips. Fill my life, Lord. Every pore. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, hold me, break me, and use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Hallelujah, worship the Lord. If you feel that you don't just want to speak in this, speak out to the Spirit of God, give you authority, just speak. As your anointing comes upon you, anointing takes you out. Anointing set the captive free. Let's worship. And as we feel the anointing comes upon you, just worship the Lord and just praise the Lord and glorify the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Spirit of God, you want to speak as if the Spirit of God gave you utter and speak.
Light of the world, you set down from the dark. Open my eyes, let me see. You made a bed, this heart adores you. All together, wonderful things.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul.